Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. Today I am speaking with Rob Gaitel. He's the CEO of MYM Nutraceuticals. Stock trades over the counter as MYMMF, and the Canadian Securities Exchange stock symbol is MYM. Rob, welcome.
Hi, Jack. Thanks very much for having me today to chat a little bit about what we do here at MYM Nutraceuticals. Very interesting time in the cannabis industry, and especially for companies that are poised like ours.
Great.
We are a completely integrated seed-to-sale international medical cannabis company. And I'll dive into that a little bit more. When I say fully integrated, we have different categories or subsidiaries below us that each have their own revenue stream. Thus, the diversity has the ability to stabilize the stock in large fluctuations, which we've seen many of in this category over the last 2 years, and allows us through that stability to reach out to other parts of the world and in different areas to continue to grow. Where we start is we have a master breeder aboard, is the title we've given him, who is a second generation seed production individual who produces seed for us and live tissue culture for us. It does two things internally through the balance of our operations. I will explain in a moment. It ensures the quality of the product according to the standards that we require, and it ensures volume so that we do not have any holes in our production schedule. Additionally, that category also has the capability of selling to other licensed producers as their startup material, whether they're used to working with raw seed or with small plants or startup material, tissue culture, what we like to call it sometimes. And that in itself is a revenue stream.
Okay. Rob, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I was going to ask you actually if we can get into, you know, some detail of some of your different subsidiaries and talk about the different revenue streams that are coming in right now.
Yeah. And in addition to that one as well, we have an exclusive contract with a company called Dutch Passion out of Amsterdam, and the exclusive distribution, sales and distribution rights for all of Canada, all of Colombia, and all of Australia. And we're currently working on additional international countries for consideration that we also will supply the seed and the live tissue for in those countries. So there's a revenue stream, multiple revenue streams in that category alone. Then we also have, on the cultivation side in Canada, we have 37,000 square feet of indoor grow, which we call our craft grow, which would essentially be like a craft beer type product, more of a specific strain, more of a higher end strain that is grown in Quebec. We're also in the process of finalizing our 1.5 million square foot, which is roughly the equivalent of 15 acres of glass or greenhouse grow in Quebec as well. Also sticking with the cultivation side, we are a 50% partner in Colombia Organica in the country of Colombia, where we have 15 acres of outdoor grow, which will be driving revenue Q1 of 2019. And the ability to expand that to triple that size if we wanted to. Then we move over to Australia, where we're in the application, late stage application process with the ODC, the Office of Drug Control, for a company called Solaris Nutraceuticals, which we hold internally privately right now, and potentially will be going public in the future in Australia. That is a 1.2 million square foot greenhouse project, and we'll be producing, again, 100% medical product. And I think our focus there, depending on our due diligence at the time of production, will be poised for primarily export. In each one of those locations, we also have another revenue stream that we have the extraction capability to extract down to a raw oil product, which we've derived that that is a great way for our medical product to be going because it is highly acceptable, primarily in the UK market and throughout Europe, and seems to be the product of choice for this industry as far as research and development, which we're also very heavily weighed on. We also have another revenue stream. We have a large manufacturing facility in Canada as well that takes the raw product, the oil or extracted product, and converts it into final consumables, whether it is transdermal patches, whether it is in pill format, whether it is in straight oil or topicals, and so on and so forth. All of these revenue streams are currently either in final stage of build-out, licensing, and will be all each one of those will be producing in the next 12 to 16 months, depending on the time of the release of the license. And while we have finalized the details on our manufacturing facility, we have previously built out a brand called Joshua Tree. The Joshua Tree brand, we currently have 42 SKUs of products, which has been shelf tested, and understand that we've done that so that we can get our in Canada NPN numbers to get it on the shelves of grocery stores and drug stores and be approved for export to the countries that will approve that type of product.
What exactly is this product, this Joshua Tree?
So Joshua Tree is a variety of different products, but that's the brand.
Okay.
The brand itself, within the brand, there are transdermal patches, there are oils, there are topicals, there are time-release pills, just various delivery methods for different dosing amounts for medical cannabis.
Okay.
We also have... Under Joshua Tree, we also have a pet line, which is called Dr. Fur Baby. And in that line, we have 6 SKUs for dogs, small breed dogs that have breathing problems, larger breed dogs that have hip and joint displacement issues. So we have six SKUs under that category. We have 4 for cats, and we're currently breaking into the equestrian market for post racehorse and studying requirements. So we have quite the diverse product lines that we've built out and are coming to market with all of those now that they've been approved and all of the testing's done and all the requirements for Health Canada have been submitted for integration into the market as soon as licensing is complete.
Okay, so Rob, so your focus is exclusively on the medical side of cannabis, is that right?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So it's like you have kind of this. I guess this is so you're basically building a vertically integrated operation from the growing
correct.
Directly to retail. Okay.
And that way we can, you know, with that consideration, we can control the quality of the product from start to finish. We can control the volume from start to finish and not be reliant on outside startup material or raw material, anything of that nature, so that we can fulfill all of our government contracts, export agreements, and things of that nature, which also helps stabilize the stock and give strength to the cost.
Okay. Now, in your financials, I noticed you have roughly about $1.5 million in sales. Was that that was for? I don't have my notes here. It's for 2017. Looks like.
Yes.
Okay.
For Joshua Tree.
Okay. So Joshua Tree. So that's those revenues are coming from Joshua Tree right now. That million and change.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. What competitive advantages do you have, you know, which would differentiate MYM from, you know, some of the other existing players and, you know, also a lot of, you know, the emerging competition?
The primary strength is our diversity. You know, as we've seen in various states in the United States where there's been a number of license applications handed out and overproduction has taken over. The cost of the product has remained the same, yet the price of the product on a retail or wholesale level has dropped drastically due to overproduction. Whereas we have the ability to take our produced product, and if we do not get the revenue stream that we want from the raw flour, we can extract it into oil because there's a market there. We can take the oil and convert it into final consumables because there's a market there. And it just gives us the opportunity at, you know, each quarter to change our business plan according to what's most viable in the market. And as we understand, you know, these days, when we look at things globally here, Jack, is the fact that new countries are coming to market. New countries are opening up for a variety of different acceptable levels, and they all seem to be starting with the medical side, which we are very, very heavily weighed on. And the other consideration there is that we have a chief science officer, and we do a variety of different things with universities and hospitals on the research and development side, everything from specific indications, you know, whether it's severe pain, Crohn's, colitis, schizophrenia. We have, you know, obviously the category of epilepsy and Parkinson's is something that we're looking at. We've really put together a number of different universities around the world so that we're not all working on the same indications. We're not all focusing on all of our resources going into a few minor areas, but the fact that we're all collaborating together gives us an advantage over the other companies that are not doing that and sheerly focused on one or two primary revenue streams that could potentially be affected by the change in the market.
Okay. Now, Rob, you've built the company through acquisitions. What role is M&A going to play in the future growth of the company?
Okay, well, a ton, but we actually have grown all of these subsidiaries organically. We saw the niche as far as being able to develop each one of these subsidiaries, if you want to call them, to be supportive of the other ones so that we could be in control. How that is going to be different in the future is the fact that we're going to, I'm assuming, see a lot of mergers and acquisitions just due to the fact that the market is going to get to the point that multiple grow sites that are on a smaller scale with higher costs are not going to be as effective and or profitable and potentially could be not profitable. And as we've seen in the United States, the only way to stay alive in one or multiple categories within this industry is to merge and put the resources together as multiple companies or multiple teams focus on one end goal together.
Okay. So, I mean, look, what would be your criteria for considering, you know, future acquisitions? What are some of the things that you're looking for, or what do you have your eye on?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. Really, the primary understanding of how to continue with developing the company out would be additional supportive companies. So systems companies that could potentially be working on developing out different strategies for a quicker timeline, a more effective operation, you know, speed to market, marketing type companies that have, as opposed to us doing it internally, the ability to understand our corporation and direction and where we're going and how we can control that from start to finish, how we market ourselves. Again, the ability to merge or align with other companies that would be like-minded in foreign countries. The international market is not open. Canada, as we all know, is the first country in the world, you know, to bring full legalization. And as things open up, around the world, each one of those countries, would be great to have partners in place that we could bring our intellectual property to, and they can operate and understand the specifics of how to do business within those countries.
Okay. Can you share with our audience, you know, your background and also some of the key members of the team?
Sure. I'll start with the executive chairman of the board. He's the founder of the company. He has been in the industry for approximately 30 years. He is one of the very first legal licensed dispensaries in Canada, which was operating in British Columbia. And now his prime focus, as the balance of the board is to continue moving forward with the medical research side of things and potentially setting ourselves up to align with other companies that might be larger than us, whether it's a pharmaceutical company or within this industry that have extra resources that we do not have, so that we can continue along this direction. Myself, I'm a business development guy. You know, I'm the dishwasher, so to speak. I have been involved in from concept to final operations of growing out a variety of different companies within, commodities, franchising, large caps, just a variety of different opportunities on a growth and business development mentality to take businesses to the next level. We have a CFO. He's been in the space, in the finance space for a number of years, and comes from a very, very reputable large name here in Canada. We were lucky enough to acquire him as he wanted to branch out into something new, and we all understand how new this industry is. We do have in-house legal. We do have operations people. We do have consultants that have consulted for years in certain aspects of advising Health Canada how to write the new legislation coming in prior to even coming aboard with us, and are helping us right now develop out the specifics as legislation changes so that we're prepared for it and continue to grow the business. So we really have a strong core of business development people and the support behind it. And as we all understand, you know, this being a relatively new industry, it's less about the specifics of cannabis and more about the direction of being able to build the business through a variety of different options and revenue streams.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the grow facility that's in Colombia, and that would be, I think you said that it would start bringing revenues online in the first quarter of 2019.
Correct.
What? Where else do you see? Revenues. Any other of your facilities? What other facilities? Do you expect to see starting to generate revenues next year?
Okay. So the 37,000 square foot craft facility in Quebec will be end of Q1, beginning of Q2, and that. Will literally come online here in the next week or so for our cultivation license, and then we should get our sales license at the beginning of Q1 or 2. The 1.5 million square feet of greenhouse will be complete and operational Q4 of 2019. That is the same time frame, actually. End of Q3 is what I've been told, Q3, Q4 for Australia at 1.2 million square feet, and Colombia, yes, you're correct, Q1 of this coming year. And then the manufacturing facility, we should be in full capacity of operations, finalizing our construction build out at the end of Q1, beginning of Q2.
Okay. What do you feel comfortable making some revenue projections for 2019?
I don't, and I'll tell you why. the reason behind not answering that with a specific dollar value is because it's a lot of it is based here in Canada on contract basis. And we are in negotiation with provincial contracts and local distributors and things of that nature, but cannot be finalized until full licensing is in hand. In the interim, the price can change drastically, as we've seen major fluctuation. There is a variety of different possibilities that will come into play, such as export license, for instance, which if a number of different licenses that get handed out in Canada go to export, it will keep the demand high because the product volume will be low, and that will change the projections. So what I can say is everything that we can produce is essentially accounted for at this point. As soon as we can produce it, the unknown factor is how high the revenue will be, depending on the international markets for export and the final agreed upon numbers for contract within Canada.
Okay, but what kind of production will you be bringing online? Let's say by third quarter of 2019. How much? Quantity.
Are we talking grams? Or are we talking...
Whatever metric you feel comfortable with.
I'll give you a more conservative number.
Okay.
2020 should be approximately $3 billion.
In production.
In revenue.
In revenue. Okay. So your projection is to generate $3 billion in 2020.
Correct.
From all the different business lines
that we have to date. Yes.
Okay.
How that's going to change between now and then, with additional consideration of negotiations that are going on to other countries. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other countries that we're currently communicating with, that number can drastically change.
Okay. What about your capital needs going forward? What kind of capital will you need to get to break even in the short term, and to get cash flow positive?
If we look at all of the projects, there's 250, 350. We're going to need about $400 million globally. About $400 million. And as you can tell by the $1 billion number I gave you for 2020, we should be, and as of today, we're debt-free. We should be completely debt-free by the end of 2020, again, with a $400 million loan.
Okay. How quickly can you bring those facilities online and, scale up operations and sales to be able to generate those kind of numbers? I mean, that's a real number. $3 billion in sales is, that's a
so. Again, Colombia will be producing in January, first quarter of 2019. Laval will be producing, which is the 37,000 square feet, in the first quarter, beginning of second quarter, at full capacity. The 1.5 million square feet of greenhouse will be producing in Q4 of 2019. So all of those will be online in full capacity for 2020. And Australia, we're looking at Q1 of 2020. So all of them will be in full capacity at that point.
Okay.
For 2020.
So what, what's your vision for the company, 3 years out, 3 years from now? What is MYM going to look like?
I think we'll have a little more reach globally around the world. We'll have aligned ourselves with a number of different research centers and universities, government programs to help develop out the possibilities of realizing the positive properties of this plant in a variety of different indications. And potentially, you know, we're building this out like a pharmaceutical company. The standards that we're building our laboratories at, the quality of the crops that we're bringing in and how we're harvesting them and how the process works. I think in 3 years from now, we will be firing on all cylinders as far as our current operations and looking to continue to have more reach globally and take that same business model and that same mindset and that same culture around the world. We will still be in growth and acquisition mode.
Okay. Now, you've recently, you know, announced the shelf offering, you know, to raise, you know, $50 million over the next, looks like, what, 24 months, 25 months?
Sure.
You know, looking at some of the, you know, investment forums and message boards, you know, there's some concern that, you know, this is going to put pressure on the stock, some dilution. Can you address these concerns?
Sure. So that's over 24 months. So if we look at that, that's really, you know, $2 million a month. $2 million a month for a global, you know, billion-dollar corporation. I don't think that, you know, you could consider anything beyond regular operations, really. But it's also for deposits and seed money to grow the company through a variety of different options and acquisitions. You know, really, if we're building a billion-dollar business in the next 18 months, $50 million is the cost of doing business. We've analyzed it. We've looked at the numbers. We understand the return that's required to offset that and to keep us moving forward so that it doesn't strangle us and slow us down.
Okay. Now, what, you know, adding to that, do you think that the investment community completely understands the MYM story? And if not, what is it that they might be missing?
I think really the key points are that we're not a single tiered revenue company. We're not a single country revenue company. We are a multi-level, multi-revenue stream, multi-international country company that has the stability of shifting and moving to different markets, acquiring new markets, and expanding our reach through a variety of different opportunities that will not only stabilize if one the stock price, but also open the door for new opportunities to come in through the diversity that we carry.
Okay. What about you know, some of the key milestones that investors, you know, should keep their eye out on for the next 12 months? What can investors look forward to?
Sure. So we have done the groundbreaking in Weeding, Quebec, which is our large facility, the first 30,000 square feet, which is phase A to satisfy the requirements of the Health Canada application, will be done here in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And at that point, the submission for the completed phase A will go to Health Canada. That is a big milestone. Once that is received and agreed upon that there's no changes required, the first crop in Colombia, that will be a major milestone. The receiving of the licenses, one of six licenses that we have out there right now, each one of those will be a major milestone as we're able to do business in a variety of different areas, whether it's exportation, whether it's cultivation, whether it's sales, whether it's extraction, so on and so forth. So it's about constantly keeping updated, whether it's through our news releases on our website or continuing to call into our investor relations team to understand where we're poised, and not specifically, you know, in this market, but where we are as a company to take advantage of where the market is going.
Okay.
Especially on the medical side.
So, if I were to ask you, what, in your opinion, what are the top three reasons why investors should consider your stock today? What would they be? Top three reasons to buy.
Yeah, the timing. Timing is probably the number one, where you're looking at the coming to market of the ability to produce and grow and manufacture through the acquisition of these licenses. That's number one. Number two is we're debt free. Everything that we've done to this point has been raised internally through management and friends and family. There is a huge understanding that everybody in this office and in the company has, and right down to, the people that are on an operations level, they have skin in the game. And when they have skin in the game, there's a lot more, as opposed to not a lot more serious drive to make sure that our goals and our focus remains steady.
Okay, well, on that note, Rob, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to following the MYM story in the months ahead.
Appreciate it, Jack. Thanks very much. Don't hesitate to reach out anytime.